Love. We're going to talk about love. Love, love, love. That's all you need is love, right? That's what the Beatles sang. So before Easter, from Lent to Easter, we did a series on one another's, the one another principle. And the Holy Spirit put it on my heart last year to do this series because we need to know what it means to live in community and live with one another. And so we looked at these one another principles. Greet one another, honor one another. Go to the next slide there. Yeah, go to the next slide, Jaden. So honor and be devoted to one another, serve one another, submit and live in harmony with one another, accept one another, bear with one another, and love one another. And we looked at love one another on Monday, Thursday, briefly, when we looked at John 13, 34, and 35, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. You must, he says, love one another. So the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to do a little series on love one another. And here's a little Bible trivia in case you ever get on a Bible trivia program or you're at Bible study and somebody gives you a Bible trivia. Do you know how many love one another passages there are? How many times it said? 11. So I put it up here on one screen, but we'll go through quickly as we read them. But there's 11 passages. Jesus says it first. Jesus says it first in John 13, 34 and 35. He says it twice in those two verses. Love one another. You must love one another, he says. And then, of course, Peter, he says it. And we're going to look at Peter's passage today in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. John says it, I think, six times. And we're going to look at some of those passages in John over the next few weeks when John tells us about love. And, of course, Paul says, love one another. Go to the next slide and we'll read them. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men or all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Go to the next slide. And this is the passage we're going to study today. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. These are John passages. John says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should, what? Love one another. 1 John 3:11. And this is the command to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us to do. 1 John 3:23. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us, 1 John 4:11 and 12. 2 John's only one chapter, so it's verse 5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And our last passage is from Paul in Romans 13. And I thought, this is a powerful passage. He says, let no debt remain outstanding. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Love one another. I think we could stop there and go home early. There's a lot of passages about love one another. Greet one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another, submit to one another, serve one another, bear with one another. But 11 times we're called to love one another. Jesus says it, Peter says it, John says it, and Paul says it. It's an important passage. So we're going to read a passage today in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 35. And we'll center in on verse 22 today, but I wanted to read the whole context of this passage. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers and sisters, love one another deeply from your heart. And of course, verse 23 is up here every week. Every week it's here. It's the verse that God gave to Bobby, kept waking him up at 1:23. I don't know if you know that. Before the seed ever got started, we were trying to figure out what to call the church. And for months, I would say, Bobby was waking up at 1:23. And I said, well, look up 1:23. And it was 1 Peter 1:23 that says that you have been born again. Not with a perishable seed, but with an imperishable one through the living, enduring word of God. Verse 24. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And he ends that chapter. It was a beautiful afternoon in April of 2008. Blue skies, the Cascade Mountains were there, and there were two teams vying for the league championship game. There was the team called Western Oregon University, and the other team was Central Washington University. They were inside a chain link fence at a college stadium, maybe 100 to 150 fans in the stand. And the game was going on for the league championship. It was a girls' softball championship game, college girls' softball, Central Washington and Western Oregon University. The winner would advance to the division playoffs. The loser, well, their season's over. They hang up their gloves, put away their spikes, and seniors graduate and go on. This was the game. The Western Oregon Wolves, they were a sturdy team, had many strong hitters. There was one player by the name of Sarah Tukcholsky. She was one of them. She was hitting 153. Now, if you know baseball, that's not a good batting average. She had never even hit a home run in her whole career in high school and college. In fact, she wasn't even a starter on the team, except for the starting right fielder had made some errors and injured herself, so they put in Sarah to play the game. And it was towards the end of the game, and Sarah comes to bat with this batting average of 153, never hitting a home run in her life. A curveball comes, runners on first and second, and she hits the ball over left field. She takes off running, and in her excitement, she misses first base. Her coach starts yelling at her, Sarah, 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 turn back. When she turns, she collapses on the ground. She falls into the dirt, writhing in pain. She crawls back to first base and lays on first base, holding her knee to her chest. The umpires, the other girls round the base and score. The umpires look kind of wondering what to do. The first base coach says, "Can we help her?" The umpire says, "If you touch her, she's out." She falls to the ground in pain. The coach standing there trying to decide what to do. The umpires started huddling, talking about what to do. I think we have a lot in common with Sarah. I think there's times when we fall down, when we're rounding maybe first base or second base or third base. Maybe we're wondering, maybe we're in this picture, maybe we're wondering what to do with someone that's fallen down. Maybe someone we love has fallen down and laying there in pain, and we're trying to figure out what to do. Maybe we've stumbled, maybe we've fallen, and we're not sure. When Peter writes this letter, I want to put it in context. When Peter writes this letter, it's about 62 AD, some 30 years, maybe, after Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, raised again, restored Peter. So he's been walking and proclaiming the gospel for 30 years. When he writes this letter, he's in prison in Rome under Emperor Nero, who will eventually take his life. Peter will die crucified upside down, for he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified as his Lord. He writes this letter to the dispersed Christians all around Asia Minor. And if we read 1 Peter, in fact, my challenge to you this week is to go and read 1 Peter. It's 5 chapters, I think 108 verses. You could read a chapter a day, and you would read the book in 5 days. He wants to tell them in chapter 1 that we have a living hope because we have a living God. Can you imagine Peter and how many times he's fallen down? And yet Jesus said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." And he restores them. I think 1 Peter is Peter's resurrection response. I think it's his resurrection response. Speaking of resurrection responses, we had one a couple weeks ago, but I know there's a lot of resurrection responses out here. I think 1 Peter is his resurrection response. It's a little longer than 5 minutes, but it's a powerful message. He tells us that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven. That's what he says in verse 4. But the thing that he tells us about in this chapter is we have this sincere love of God and that we're redeemed. Let me read the passage again. It's in verse 18. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but from your empty way of life when you've fallen down. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. He has chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in those last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in him who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God." He says, you were redeemed. Don't miss that. It's in verse 18. You were redeemed. Paul uses a word that's a really strange Greek word. I have it up there for you on the Greek slide. He uses a word for redeemed. So I say, if we have fallen down rounding first, second, or third, we have a living hope. Peter uses this Greek word redeemed, which is lutruo. And in Greek, it means to purchase, release by paying a ransom, or to deliver by the payment of a price. To the Greeks reading this, it would have meant, it's a technical term, that when you heard the word lutruo, it's the amount of money you would buy a prisoner back. It'd be like a ransom. And Peter says, you were bought back. You were redeemed. Thomas Watson, a Puritan pastor, and I put his quote up here, he said, God's greatest work was redemption. God's greatest work was redemption. And this is what he said. Great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. It cost more to redeem us than to make us. That's deep, because he said he made us with a word. He spoke life into us. But he redeemed us by his shed blood. Don't miss the fact of God's sincere love for us, that you were redeemed. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So have you ever thought about what it costs God to buy you back, to pick you up when you've fallen down? So let's look at verse 22. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have this sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from your heart. It's been a hard last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been 10 weeks of chelation. I've made a lot of mistakes mentally. I left my keys locked in the door. I think Jody and Javon came home and found the keys in the door. I tell people it feels like my head is in a vise. I've broken out in sores in my mouth. I have sores on my feet. And it's like, you know, when your gas gauge goes to empty and it starts dinging. And I know none of you run your gas gauge down to empty. And it goes ding, 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 ding. You go, I think I have like 20 more miles in it, right? And I've been trying to do that. And I've been running on empty. And I've tripped, and I've fallen, and I've stumbled, and I come to this passage, and I go, God, you've come to pick me up. You've come to pick me up. And if God can pick me up, I know that he can pick you up, no matter what you're facing. What struck me this weekend as I study and I read it in the Greek was the word sincere. He says, you've been redeemed by this sincere love. So I went and did my research on it, and it's up here. The Greek word for sincere is anapokritos, anapokritos, and it means unhypocritical or without hypocrisy, being authentic, upright, genuine, and sincere. Think about it. Peter goes way back with Jesus. He was one of the first fishermen ever called. Peter was there from the beginning. He saw miracle after miracle, healing after healing, feeding of thousands. Peter heard every single sermon that Jesus ever preached. My guess that he saw Jesus' sincere love. Authentic love. Unhypocritical love. He saw this love, and he writes about it. He says, this love that I found in Jesus is without hypocrisy. And so he says that our love should be without hypocrisy, or it should be sincere. Peter tells us that we should love one another ektino. That's the Greek word that he uses, ektino, which means, when we translate it in the NIV, love each other deeply. That's a strange word. Love each other deeply, but it means love each other deeply or fervently or earnestly or zealously. Actually, love each other without ceasing. You've been given this sincere love so that you could love one another, actino, without ceasing. There's an old story told, and I don't know if it's true. It was in the 1900s, and it's been in a lot of sermon illustrations about a man who was a building engineer and had this company, and he was on the third, it was a three-story building, and they were building this building, and he was on the third story scaffolding, and he tripped. The engineer tripped and started to fall, and one of the laborers saw that the engineer was going to fall, so he stepped in the place where the man was going to fall to soften the engineer's fall, because he was falling three stories. The engineer barely suffered any injuries from a three-story fall. But the laborer that he fell on, it broke every bone in his body. And the laborer had many surgeries, and he healed, but he was always disabled because of the fall. And so a reporter came and asked the laborer several years after the accident, and he said, did the engineer ever express to you any thanks? And the laborer said, oh yes. He said, the engineer gave me half of everything that he owned. He even gave me a share in his business. And he never stopped coming to see me and asking me how I was. He never stopped coming over and giving me things, because he said, you saved my life. He said, I received this love from this engineer that I had never expected. And I wonder, I'm going to stretch the story, I wonder if we realize that Jesus is the laborer who covered our fall with a cross. It didn't break all the bones in his body, but it broke some of his bones. It didn't break any of his bones, but he was pierced and he was nailed. And he shed his blood to latruo, to buy us back. So what? So what? I have a video of the Sarah Tochowski. I want to show the video.
Small town in the middle of Washington State, on a field inside a chain-linked fence, in a game fewer than 100 people saw. A home run memorable not for the distance it traveled or the game it decided, but for the meaning it carried. The last Saturday in April, the second game of a softball doubleheader between Central Washington and Western Oregon.
Well, we were both neck and neck fighting for the conference championship.
As a senior, this was Sarah Tucholsky's last chance to win a championship. She'd never hit a home run before, not in college, not in her life.
A 5'2", I'm not very tall. I'm more a line drive hitter. I don't hit for power.
But in the top of the second inning, with two runners on the second pitch, that changed.
That pitch and it just went.
And we're just cheering, and the runners are cheering as they round the base to head to home. And then I'm going, where's Sarah?
In her excitement, Tucholsky failed to touch first base, so she quickly turned back.
Her pivoting leg just didn't pivot with her. And I heard her kind of yell, and she just dropped to the ground, and I was like, oh no. Just fell immediately and was in a lot of pain. Just, you know, I tried to keep my legs straight, but I was in so much pain that I couldn't really keep still.
Tucholsky, with a torn ACL, crawled back to first base. She was a long way from reaching home plate and keeping her first and only home run.
When she got back to first base, she laid there and she hugged on to first base. And then at that time, I was staring at the base and I go, what on earth are we going to do?
And I turned to the umpire standing right next to me. I said, what is the ruling if I put somebody in for Sarah? He said, it'll be a two-run single.
If anybody would have on her team would have helped Sarah, she would have been called out.
That was the problem. None of Tucholsky's teammates were allowed to touch her. That's when Central Washington's Mallory Holtman, a player with more home runs than any other in conference history, a player for the opposing team, spoke up.
I went to the home plate umpire and asked if we could pick her up and carry her, and he looked at me a little strange.
And the umpire went and said, yes, you can do that. I'm still standing there in shock. I said, thank you so much.
We asked her, so like, is it okay if we pick you up and carry you around the bases?
And I say, yes, and, you know, and say thank you. And she says, you hit the ball over the fence. You deserve it.
For that reason only, because she deserved it, Holtman and Wallace began to carry the injured Tucholsky, stopping to touch her left foot on each base as the three made their way around the diamond.
We actually started laughing because we were just wondering what this would look like to all the people in the stand.
When I looked up, I didn't see, you know, giant like smiles and screams. I saw emotion and tears and people crying.
It's a great moment when someone has character to step up and do the right thing at the right time.
It's emotional.
You're proud. Be associated with those kids.
That's the first home run of the season for number 8, Sarah Tucholsky.
The fact is, you know, I made my goal. I hit a home run, and it's my last at bat of my career, but I, you know, made my goal, so I'm proud of myself.
Mallory Holtman, Liz Wallace, and the Central Washington team lost the game that day, 4-2. Sarah Tucholsky lost the rest of her season and her career to a knee injury. But for the spirit of sportsmanship, a greater victory made on a long trot around the bases, a trip that truly touched them all.
I have a lot of respect for her and put her in high regards, her and her teammates. And, you know, I can't thank her enough.
Sincere love is an authentic love. It's an uncompromising love. It's a love that goes beyond what's expected. A love that says, love one another deeply. Love one another unfailingly. Love one another unceasingly. Mallory and her teammate, while the umpires stood trying to decide what to do, and the coaches not sure what to do, Mallory and her teammate reached out with a deep, deep love for one another and reached down and picked up Sarah, and you saw carried her. But the truth is, that's what God has done for us. You see, God saw us when we fell, writhing in pain, and he sent his son. God had this sincere love first, And he says, I'm going to love you with this sincere love so that you can love one another deeply. Let us never miss that, what we've been given, so that we can give. Your so what this week is, go out this week. Look for someone that you can pick up, that you can reach out and show the sincere love that God has for you as you love one another deeply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have loved us with an unfailing love. You have loved us with an everlasting love. You have loved us with a sincere love, an authentic love, a real love, so that we could learn to love one another deeply, fervently, and unceasingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song.